Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's take a look here. And it looks like Feeny Loco may have gone to bed a little earlier. Oh, excuse me. So we might not have Feeny Loco there. And just continuing forward, taking a look at some of the headlines. Judge rules Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial will proceed. Right, a Montgomery County judge, Steve O'Neill, Wednesday night denied Bill Cosby's request to dismiss a criminal case against him, saying a former prosecutor's testimony about a promise he made not to pursue to prosecute Cosby was not credible. And still Zika virus, still moving forward. And as we've already noted in previous headlines, that Zika has been sexually transmitted in Texas. The CDC confirms it now, though. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on Wednesday updated the Zika virus guidance for pregnant women, advising them to protect themselves if their male sexual partner has traveled to or lives in an area where Zika virus is circulating. And thanks to climate change and global warming, the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus are going to be in areas where we are not used to it. Rick Santorum drops his presidential bid and endorses Marco Rubio. Why the frack not? Right? Why not? Why not? Sometimes you got to do that shit. And, oh, and don't forget, Rand Paul dropped out, which leads me to want to share with you a fun little piece of audio from Chris Matthews and his predictions. Whoa, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders clash at a CNN town hall. And this one just went up 13 minutes ago. Let's take this one just a little bit beyond the headline and take a look at what the freaking snag and snarkenhamel is going on here. What is happening? So Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders clashed Wednesday night over who best embodies progressive values. What, are they fucking shitting me? Are they shitting me? Hold on. Is this the is this audio for this? Are they gonna play a commercial first? Of course. Somebody playing tennis. Yeah, okay, so it's a town hall in Derry, New Hampshire, ahead of next Tuesday's first in-the-nation primary. Sanders slammed Clinton. Nice CNN politics. He slammed Clinton, arguing that she was out of step with the party's base on issues ranging from campaign finance to climate change. All right, let's listen to let's see what Hillary has to say here. She's got some shit to say, right? Let's see what the fuck is going on. I wasn't even ready for this one. Like this this went live very recently. What is going on here? Holy shit, Windows 8, really? What are we doing? What are we doing, Windows 8? Fucking Christ, all right.
Really good and very grateful to the team I had on the ground, to the tens of thousands of Iowans who volunteered, knocked on doors, came out and caucused last night. And I could feel the energy building in the weeks leading up to the caucus. I was out there making my case about what I want to do and what I think our country must do to get real results with more jobs, rising incomes, build on the Affordable Care Act, deal with climate change, clean energy, defend our rights, all the things I feel passionate about.
No, you're not going to do any of that shit.
And I could just watch, and in fact, in that last week, I had so many people come up to me and say that they had decided to support me, and it could not have been better. It was a great, great night. I'm going to let the Republicans, decide who their nominee will be. I will be prepared to run against and win, no matter who they nominate. I think.
Like as if it's a challenge. It's the Republicans. They have thrown away everything but the base.
As everybody is well aware, I'm pretty battle-tested. It's important to have gone through this
No, you're not battle-tested. You are trained and polished.
And so we'll do. They're already running $6 million of ads against me, along with their, Wall Street buddies. And so they know.
I like that. I like how it's their Wall Street. Nigga, those are your friends too, nigga. The fuck? They're Wall Street buddies. Okay. Wolf Blitzer's losing his hair.
They don't want to be the Democratic nominee, and I take that as perversely flattering because they also know that I mean what I say and I'll do.
And And what? So Sanders pushed back against the suggestion that Clinton is a better general election candidate than he would be. All right. Oh, it's going to play another commercial, isn't it? Yep, here we go. Somebody playing tennis for some reason. And white people doing yoga. That's going on. And arrow going. It'll be somebody's jogging. That's outstanding. I'm really excited about you jogging. All right, here we go.
Last night in Iowa, we took on
Brooklyn.
We took on the most powerful political organization in this country. Last night, we came back from a 50-point deficit in the polls. And last night, we began the political revolution, not just in Iowa, not just in New Hampshire, but all over this country.
50-state strategy.
What is this campaign about? It's not about
Okay, so that so it looks like they just loaded those videos in here. And so there is, and reading more from CNN, there is simply more enthusiasm filling his campaign than Clinton's, he said. An objective assessment would say there is more excitement and energy in our campaign. He also took a shot at Trump, calling him a candidate who doesn't support working Americans. But as much as Sanders doesn't like the Republicans' agenda, the senator said he would delight in taking him on in November. I want Trump to win the Republican nomination, and I would love the opportunity to run against him. I think we would win by a lot. Uh-huh. All right, and dancing it back. At a mosque visit, Obama seeks to mend fences between Muslims and the West. President Obama made his first visit to a U.S. mosque as president on Wednesday and sought to repair the increasingly frayed relationship between American Muslims and their fellow citizens. It's not a frayed relationship. They're basically socially oppressed people. They could get murdered at any given time because Republicans are telling their followers to do it. Whoa, and then it looks like there might be a, and I mentioned in the previous headlines segment that RuPaul's Drag Race is kicking off, is getting season 8 up and running, and it looks like somebody at Out Magazine has an article up asking the question, did RuPaul's Drag Race really fuck up drag? Interesting. I mean, I'll have to open that one up for my own reading. I like RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm a fucking fan. Holy shit. All right. This is going to be the last one we do, or then we're going to have to get to the show opener, get this program up and running, because we have an 11-minute audio clip to get through, and I really want to do the whole thing. But James Manning has new audio up. Folks don't remember who James Manning is. He's the black preacher, I think, in Harlem, who sounds like the Cookie Monster when he yells. The guy that's like, this death in the rectum. That guy. And he isn't pleased that and he used the homo antagonistic slur fags, and it says he isn't pleased that fags are trying to buy his church. On Tuesday, it was reported that the Ali Forner Center, an organization that provides shelter and counseling to LGBTQ youth, is trying to purchase James Manning's demented Harlem church. Yeah, because the thing is, James Manning did not pay his bills, so he's losing that building, and they've already raised $130,000. Whew! I'm telling you, so this is good. I find this interesting, but I'm also you know, like I hope that they get local youth and they don't bring in people from other places, because Harlem, like Brooklyn, is running into that similar gentrification. I'm really going to need Cat Black to stop going live at the same time as me. I don't need that kind of competition. Yeah, but I mean, like, we got to keep these black spaces black and safe, right? Right. Dig it. Holy shit. All right, so it looks like Feeny Loco is not going to be there to hit up the tag list, but there's Asia Loco, there's Anna Loco, there's Carmen Loco. Folks are coming through up in the joint, so let's just mob with this shit. This is a little show opener that I put together to get this gosh darn thing up and running. And then we do have a show break that'll have LGBT news. It'll have a Black Agenda commentary update. Jim Hightower, right? And just a reminder from Bold Blue Media that we do get down with Bold Blue Magazine and the homie loco, Madison Page.
I thank the gentleman for yielding.
And I should say, this first clip that you're going to hear to get the show opener up and running, this is Bernie Sanders in 1991. All right, this is 1991.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Mr. Speaker, I rise in strong opposition to the McCullough Amendment and, in fact, in strong opposition to this so-called crime prevention bill. Mr. Speaker, let us be honest. This is not a crime prevention bill. This is a punishment bill, a retribution bill, a vengeance bill. All over the industrialized world now, countries are saying, let us put an end to state murder. Let us stop capital punishment. But here what we're talking about is more and more capital punishment. What we're discussing now is an issue where some of our friends are saying we're not getting tough enough on the criminals. But my friends, we have the highest percentage of people in America in jail per capita of any industrialized nation on earth. We've beaten South Africa. We've beaten the Soviet Union. What do we have to do? Put half the country behind bars? Mr. Speaker, instead of talking about punishment and vengeance, let us have the courage to talk about the real issue. How do we get to the root causes of crime? How do we stop crime, which is in fact a very, very serious problem in this country? And Mr. Speaker, I've got a problem. I've got a problem with a president and a Congress which allows 5 million children to go hungry, 2 million people to sleep out on the streets, cities to become breeding grounds for drugs and violence. And they say, we're getting tough on crime. If you want to get tough on crime, let's deal with the causes of crime. Let's demand that every man, woman, and child in this country have a decent opportunity and a decent standard of living. Let's not keep putting poor people into jail and disproportionately punishing blacks.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right. It's 1994, gangbanging, don't play there. But I still stay strapped because I don't want to get laid out on the concrete with internal bleeding. Mom's at my hand screaming, bro, don't leave me. I'm staring up into the sky, thinking that I'm going to die. Here come the one time, fuck the pigs. They the last that I want to see, thin and pat. No love from the deputy, one time getting deeper. And finally I hear the ambulance creep up. I'm feeling dehydrated. They hook me up with some IV and a
are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar. Dear God, somebody hand me a glass.
They're white women, hear them roar. They call a Beyonce Knowles a whore. They don't like twerking, she needs to dance respectfully. They're white women, hear them roar. But not if you are black or poor. A Clinton crack stands on the backs of poverty. Yes, her speaking fees are high, and these are fees that she gets paid. They buy your house on Wall Street where her house is laid.
Yo, all right. Yo, Huckfillery though, let's get into some Wine Cellar.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
It feels like there's a lot of young people like myself who are very passionate supporters of Bernie Sanders, and I just don't see the same enthusiasm from younger people for you. In fact, I've heard from quite a few people my age that they think you're dishonest, but I'd like to hear from you on why you feel the enthusiasm isn't there.
The sight of a young black man in a hoodie still evokes a twinge of fear.
So shame on you, Barack Obama. It is time you ran a campaign consistent with your messages in public. That's what I expect from you.
Then billionaire Richard Mellon scathed that she would have left her church if her pastor had made the sort of inflammatory remarks that Senator Obama's former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, had made. Senator Clinton then repeating her remarks at a news conference this afternoon.
Given all we have heard and seen, he would not have been my pastor. We don't have a choice when it comes to our relatives. We have a choice when it comes to our pastors and the churches we attend.
By the way, I got to say one other thing, too. It was rich this weekend. I guess we have to get our digs in on Hillary Clinton here, because I thought we were going to get through a segment without talking about her. But for Hillary Clinton to come out and criticize anybody for spreading the rumors about Barack Obama when it all started...
On 60 Minutes.
When it all started with her and her campaign passing things around in the Democratic primary, rich. Now listen.
He says he is.
The Republicans are wrong for doing what they're doing. This started with Hillary Clinton, and it was spread by the Clinton team.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
Right. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Feeny Loco, the uppity negress, Lisa Loco, the white splainer in chief, Fallen Loco, the chili cook-off champion, greatest of all times, and also spends her Saturday evenings just sort of rolling around looking for people on the side of the road that need help with a tire change, and she knocks out that tire change in 90 seconds or less. Outstanding. Fallen Loco, fallenkitty.com, outstanding young person, and avid Martha Fracking book writer. All right, so let's jump straight into the mother funky. The funky donkey, the schmingy schmaggle, the harbendougal. You know what the hell I'm talking about. There we go. Where is the bastard? So Hillary Clinton was on the moving picture box, talking about the whatnot and the what have you.
Ooh.
All right, so she was on with Chris Matthews. So let's dig into it. Let's see if Hillary Clinton can get us ready for Hillary, and maybe she can cool down folks that are feeling the burn. Maybe she's on to something. I mean, most likely not. Oh man. All right.
Madam Secretary, thank you for joining us. It was quite a night last
Thanks.
Night, and I was taken with your moment of candor there before the cameras when you said you had a sigh of relief. Tell us about that sigh of relief and what it meant to you.
Well, Chris, it meant the world to me. As we all remember, I was not successful in Iowa last time, and I know how hard that caucus process is.
You know, do politicians get their teeth filed down? Like, there seems to be a generic set of politician teeth. I don't know.
Proud of our organization, our volunteers, all my supporters. Everybody said if there were a big turnout, that would advantage Senator Sanders. There was a big turnout, and we won.
There was a big turnout, and you won by coin flip. And let's not forget what was pointed out earlier, that he started with a 50% deficit and moved up. So what it does show is that once people have Sanders to compare to Hillary, they tend to go Sanders. You see, but thanks to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and a media that's obsessed with Donald Trump, less people even know about Sanders.
And now I'm in New Hampshire, looking forward to the primary next Tuesday, and, you know, continuing to make my case in this contest of ideas between me and the senator.
It's not a contest of ideas. This is the It's My Turn campaign.
Well, you know, the New York Times ran this story.
And there's the fakeness to her smile. It's not just It's My Turn, but I'm pissed off because I'm significantly older and missed my turn 8 years ago because fucking Negro man had to ruin it.
This morning you were disappointed, and I think it's possible to be both disappointed and relieved. You could have been disappointed at 9 o'clock, but very relieved at 11 o'clock. I mean, the times changed during the course of the results coming. Are both those possible? You thought you could have done better with your field operation, but you're also glad you came out ahead.
Look, Chris, I really believe that during the last few weeks leading up to the caucus, I could feel the energy building. You know, it's a tough process, and what I was seeing on the ground as people were telling me they were changing their minds, that they were supporting me, what my organizers were reporting, was all consistent, that it was going to be close, but if we did our work, and we did, we would win. So I was thrilled by winning and getting that boost out of Iowa here in New Hampshire, where I am in Senator Sanders' backyard, as you know, as a political expert of your many years, that New Hampshire votes for neighbors.
Remember, Chris Matthews is a political expert. He is. He is. He's a political. He really is. He's a political expert. He even predicted who would be the Republican nominee. Remember this? Hold up. He's a political expert.
And the nomination is going to Rand Paul. You watch. This is what I do for a living.
All right. You watch. This is what he does for a living. Rand Paul just dropped out.
And so I have to really get out there, make my case, which I intend to do this week.
I just love the way you snuck that in. It's his backyard, therefore he has an advantage geographically, and we shouldn't put too much stock into it. But let me ask you about this, because I'm looking at these polls.
So that's his backyard where he's elected from. Sanders is from Brooklyn.
There's a range in the polling over the last couple weeks on New Hampshire. It is his backyard. Look at a map. It's Vermont and New Hampshire right next to each other. Twin there. Between 6 and 33 points, he's got a lead on you up there. And I wonder how much ground you can make in a week, because we really got a week now.
I feel really good about my campaign in New Hampshire, and I remember getting off the plane in New Hampshire after the Iowa caucuses last time, where I did not win, and I was way behind going into what was then just 5 days before the primary. And the work that was done on my behalf, the people who came out to support me, the incredible excitement, I saw that today in Nashua. I got here, it was amazing, Chris, the level of enthusiasm, people who were with me before, people who were with President Obama in 08, everybody working so hard to support me, to get to that primary, to do everything we possibly can. We're not leaving anything.
Man, she is not. There is not a lot of substance going on. Let's see what Chris Matthews' next question is.
Brown, you came off the loss in Iowa. You went out there and you would stand there. It was like Bill Clinton staying there till the last dog died. You were out there on that arena. I remember you standing in I think it was a field house, and you went on and on and on. It went on for 5 hours. It was incredible. It was a marathon answering every single question of everyone in that room. It really was a physical a marathon. Are you going to try to match that performance this time? That kind of, I can do this thing.
I'm going to do everything I can to get out there to meet with folks here to answer their
questions. I'm going to do everything I can. Okay, no, where's the substance?
Get them to support me next Tuesday.
I know you've been saying nice things about your only opponent now. It's really a battle since Martin O'Malley, Governor O'Malley, has withdrawn. It's a two-person race.
Okay, here we go. All right, let's see if the shade comes out.
The only person, and I'm going to say this bluntly, the only person between a confirmed socialist who's calling for political revolution.
Democratic socialist. Did he say, whoa, what's he talking about? How is he framing this question?
Bluntly, the only person between a confirmed socialist who's calling for political revolution in this country, winning the nomination of the Democratic Party, which has always been more moderate than that, is you. So when you saw that rally last night, the young people all around Senator Sanders, when he yelled revolution out there and they all applauded like mad, do you think that's something that is going to help in the general election? Or are we looking at what we used to call in the 60s an NDC campaign? November.
Look, it's not hard to beat the Republicans. The best chance that they have is a terrorist attack in mid to late October. All right, that's their best chance at beating the Democrats is the knee jerk reactionary fear vote. All right, but other than that, no. And again, democratic socialist. I like how Chris Matthews is refusing to put the other word in the front there.
Number doesn't count. We just want to win the party. We don't care about the general. You seem to be focused on the general. How do you beat a person who's coming along in the primary?
So you framed the question as you seem to be the adult in the room. All right.
However, who's saying, I'm going to give you all the things you want, free tuition, more Social Security benefits without an increase in your taxes, health care from birth to death, all the government paid. How do you compete with a revolution?
Did he really say all the goodies? Hold up.
November doesn't count. We just want to win the party. We don't care about the general. You seem to be focused on the general. How do you beat a person who's coming along in the primaries, however, who's saying, I'm going to give you all the things you want, free tuition, more Social Security.
Okay, all the things you want. It really does sound like very in a Republican way he's framing this question.
How do you compete with a revolution of promises, really?
A revolution of promises. All right. I mean, that's. I could have swore that's what all candidates, what every candidacy is, but I.
Well, first let me say I am thrilled, too, that we've got young people getting active in the campaign on the Democratic side. I was very proud of the many, many young people working for me, volunteering for me, voting, caucusing for me. And
damn, nigga, get to the motherfucking answer.
Iowa, and the ones I have here in New Hampshire, I'm just so impressed with. So that's a net good no matter what. I do think that we have an obligation to keep people focused on what's at stake in this election. And you got close to saying it, Chris. We can't let the Republicans rip away the progress we've made. We can't let...
Here we go. She's gunning for the fear. Be scared of the Republicans because they actually have a chance or some shit.
them go back to trickle-down economics, repeal the Affordable Care Act. We can't let them...
Wait, she said go back to trickle-down economics? It never went away. You fucking liar.
Close to saying it, Chris. We can't let the Republicans rip away the progress we've made. We can't let them go back to trickle-down economics, repeal the Affordable Care Act. We can't let them...
I don't know. I mean, because I'm going to be doing my tax return in about a month here, and Obamacare is about to hit me, and I didn't get anything from it. So, all right, so they're talking about, because, again, like, I got to say, I'm not big on Obamacare. It was a giveaway to the companies, to the insurance companies. Like, that was a giveaway to them.
Stack the Supreme Court for another generation against common sense kind of changes that we need.
So the Hobby Lobby decision didn't happen? Like, the Supreme Court is not like some progressive institution right now. There's Ruth Bader Ginsburg and then all those fucking guys.
For another generation against common sense kind of changes that we need. We've got to get back to the middle. We've got to get back to the big center. We've got to get back to solving problems. That's how we make progress in America.
Okay, so get back to the middle, get back to the center. All right, keep going.
America, I am proud to be in a line of Democratic presidents who just got in there and fought it out, who got civil rights, who got an economy producing high incomes, who got...
Wait, so getting civil rights was in the center. In the center, that's where civil rights was. All right, so Hillary Clinton is saying that being a centrist is where you got civil rights that we actually don't have, considering that it is legal to murder us and you get rewarded for it. But keep going.
Finally, the Affordable Care Act, something we've been fighting for since Harry Truman. I know how hard this is, and I totally appreciate how exciting it can be to be involved in a campaign that really just puts out these great big ideas. But I want folks to stop and think, no matter what...
These are not great big ideas. Like, the shit that Bernie is talking about, we've been talking about for a while. You see, this is the difference between... folks that are enthusiastic about Bernie and enthusiastic about Hillary right now. Folks that are enthusiastic about Bernie talk about this shit every day. Folks that are enthusiastic about Hillary talk about this shit every 4 years.
What age you are. Okay, we agree on getting the economy going. We agree on raising incomes. We agree on combating climate change. We agree on universal coverage. Who has the track record? Who's...
Whoa. You don't agree on universal coverage? You just sent Chelsea out to say that he was going to take his shit away. She's such a liar. Like, she believes whatever is convenient that moment.
Gotten the results. Who could actually produce the kind of change you want for yourself and your family and for our country? So I'm very energized about this because I like a contest of ideas. That's what politics should be about. We're going to be talking about...
You like a contest of ideas. Hillary Clinton likes a contest of ideas. Hold on. Let's see if we can't remind ourselves how much Hillary Clinton... really likes a contest of ideas. What is wrong with this thing? Fucking, here we go with this god darn thing. Man, I loaded so many notes in here. Holy shit. Wow, I have Lindsey Graham in my notes. That's awesome.
That's just because you like his voice.
You said like his voice?
Yeah, you like his voice. That's why. You're like, Lindsey Graham. That's why you have Lindsey Graham.
Senator Graham? He is.
Yeah,
Senator
exactly.
Lindsey Graham cracker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is Senator Lindsey Graham cracker. That there southern hot man got some flavor.
Because this is the kind of attack that not only undermines core democratic values, but gives aid and comfort to the very special interests and their allies in the Republican Party who are against doing what we want to do for America. So shame on you, Barack Obama. It is time you ran a campaign consistent with your messages in public, because this is the kind of attack.
So that's how Hillary really feels about disagreement. But, you know, let it keep going.
Results. Who could actually produce the kind of change you want for yourself and your family and for our country. So I'm very energized about this because I like a contest of ideas. That's what politics should be about. We're going to be talking about and arguing about issues on our side. They're going to keep insulting each other.
Politics is also about the propaganda. The politician is just as much a propagandist as the networks that support them. That's why I say, like, first person I heard say it was Rachel Maddow that said the pundit class, because they are a part of the political process. Here we go.
Other on the Republican side, but the goal for any sensible American has to be do not turn the White House over to the Republicans in November. Do not turn the Supreme Court further.
So, again, she's running on the fear vote. She's running on the vote for me because you're scared, because you can't – the socialist Jew is gonna lose it to the Republicans. And, yeah, I mean, and I keep trying to let folks know, like, it's real. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to die, all right? She's going to die. And matter of fact, here's an old clip from 2000. I think it is from 2006. It may actually be, or that might just be when it was uploaded. But, politicians are propagandists.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
All right, you got to catapult the propaganda. All right, they are propagandists. Here we go. Keep going, Hillary.
Over to their nominees. We can't let that happen.
Be scared.
Well, of course, I think you're offering a lesson in civics, and I wonder if we could do that in a couple of weeks. Now, look, the history of the Democratic Party, your party, not Bernie Sanders, he's not a Democratic Party member, your party.
You know how fast he said that. Hold up, Chris Matthews. This is what I'm talking about with MSNBC and this corporate shit. Listen to him.
They're going to keep insulting each other on the Republican side, but the goal for any sensible American has to be
Do not turn the White House over to the Republicans in November.
What up?
I said, well, you know, not like your kind of Democrat, but like, you know, that kind of whatever he is, you know.
Yeah. Ah, man, fucking grimy. Here we go.
Your party has produced the New Deal. It produced the progressive income tax came from the Democrats, from Wilson. Social Security, the greatest anti-poverty program ever, came from Rhodes.
That came from the labor wing of the Democratic Party, which if Sanders was around then, he'd be in the labor wing, the Labor Party. Keep going.
Roosevelt and Harry Truman started to fight for health care and civil rights and all these good things that led to the Affordable Care Act. But in every case, you had to battle Republicans who voted against it to the last person. And it's always been a tough fight. And you need 60 votes in the Senate. You need 200. Is it 218 in the House? You need these votes.
Right.
And if you don't have them, nothing gets done. Do the Bernie people need to be taught? Not him. He won't be taught. Can the kids behind him need to be told this is how it works?
So Bernie's not a part of the Democratic Party. He can't be taught. And the Bernie people, wait, let me correct that, the kids. Let's run that again.
In the House, you need these votes.
Right.
And if you don't have them, nothing gets done. Do the Bernie people need to be taught? Not him. He won't be taught. Can the kids behind him need to be told this is how it works?
You went from people to kids. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Works in our system. You can call for a revolution, but it ain't going to happen. There ain't going to be a revolution. There's going to be an election, an inauguration, and then there's going to be a Congress sitting with you. You got to do business with, no matter who gets elected.
I like that. Ain't going to be a no revolution. Don't try.
There will be no revolution, and that's probably why he said kids, right? Because only kids are right, naive enough to think that there's going to be a revolution, right? Like, the adults are much more common sense and rational and logical, and they know better, unlike those damn kids, you know?
All right. Well, the person who, and this is someone that, and they really, this is just one person out of many, because I listen to a lot of call-in shows, and about 2 weeks ago, this guy, he's in his early 60s, and this is his quote, "Bernie or bust, Democrat or die." And, you know, and I get, like, a lot of folks don't like the Bernie or bust. It's not that logical, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to die, guaranteed, very soon. And, but, like, that's not a kid. That's a person who's been around and seen some shit. That's someone who saw a revolution happening and heard Martin Luther King start talking about poverty and wage inequality and got murdered for it. All right, like, that's somebody who saw when Kennedy wasn't really winning in the South, but then went to Virginia, saw the poverty out there, spoke on it, and won Virginia. All right, like, this is somebody who's seen some shit in their day, and they're saying Bernie or bust, Democrat or die. Here we go.
Well, revolution sounds
also,
like
very
a pass.
Importantly,
like, you don't have to worry about logic anymore. Just, I'm going to have a revolution and pay for everything.
And pay for everything. And now, who talks like that? Who talks like that? How are you going to pay? You can pay for this stuff. That's Republican shit. And this is your liberal media, MSNBC.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like a lot of the attitude that people on that hashtag on Twitter had, the socialism checklist. Like, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for clean water in public schools? Like, oh, not me.
You've retired.
Get away from me with that.
Yeah, I mean, do billionaires not exist? Take their fucking money. Take their money. Take their money. Take their money.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
Take their money. Take their money. Take their money.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
Take their money. Take their money. Billionaires don't need to exist. That's ridiculous. 1 billion is 1,000 million. 1 billion, 1,000 million.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
Do you understand yet? Tell them one more time, G-Dub.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
God damn it. Jesus Christ. Keep going, Hillary.
Well, you know, where I come out on this is I don't think our country or the American people can wait. I don't think they can wait for better jobs with rising incomes, getting prescription drug costs down. I think people...
All right. Okay. So she's saying the people can't wait, right? All right, then. So what's your timeline? What is your slope? Because it'll probably be a slope, right? What's your slope on raising the minimum wage? Are you talking about raise it by $5 over 5 years and not adjust it for inflation? Is that what you're going to do? Maybe raise it by $6 over 2 years? What's your slope? Tell us.
Well, I mean, as we're talking about that, though, we also need to remember that oftentimes inflation and cost of living do not match each other.
You know, inflation and cost of living don't always match each other.
I mean, you know. Because if they matched each other, minimum wage would be like $18 an hour right now. You know.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
I'm telling you. Oh, man. Jesus, creepers and chimney sweepers.
Want to vote for somebody who is going to get in there on the first day, knows how to do the job, is prepared to do the job, and gets to work. And I will...
Knows how to do the job, is prepared to do the job, and gets to work. She has resorted to talking like Donald Trump.
I'll give everything I've got to make sure that we preserve the progress we've made, because you're right, it is hard fought. Our system is set up to make it difficult. You know, checks and balances, separation of powers. You know, our founders knew that if we were going
to... Our system is set up to make it difficult. Corporations are people, Citizens United, McCutcheon decision.
to survive as the great democracy that they were creating, we had to have a system that kept the, you know, the passions at bay. We had to have people who were willing to
keep the passions at bay. Hey, don't come in here with all that passion.
That sounds like some like a bad line from like a cheesy romance novel. Like, she was in love with Jorge but tried to keep her passions at bay. Fuck is that? All right.
Yeah, I'm telling. Like she has resorted to this sort of like, yeah, like this sort of like bizarre silver fox Cruella de Vil of politics. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Roll up their sleeves and compromise.
Roll up their sleeves and compromise. What up?
Maybe she's just being herself.
That might be it. Like she may, and really, and you know what? She is, and it started. The change happened, and I pointed this out before, when Bill Clinton was like, "I'm gonna run for governor, Hillary. I think I could do it." And it was like, "And you're gonna need to take off those big ugly feminist glasses so you look pretty for me." And that was it. She, like, right there, she became political animal. And if you look at her right now today, she never put those glasses back on.
We couldn't have ideologues who were just hurling their, you know, rhetoric back and forth.
Yeah, you know, like how you lost to Obama in 08, an ideologue hurling rhetoric. Yeah. That guy who made the dopest fucking arguments of separating church and state. Yes, you can't have ideologues. Or kind of like how Republicans win when they win. No, you can't have ideologues hurling rhetoric. No.
We had to actually produce results. That hasn't changed since George Washington.
All right, had to produce results. What did Bill Clinton do in 1996? Oh, welfare reform. That's right.
Yeah. Awkward.
had to produce some results. Was Bosnia, was that on Clinton's watch?
Oh, yeah, that was in the mid-late 90s, yeah.
Yeah, hey, had to produce some fucking results over here, buddy.
We got to produce results now because...
What up?
Wasn't he the three-strike guy?
Oh, geez. And wasn't she the three-strike gal going around arguing?
Yeah.
Matter of phys act, hold the mother funky funky up. The mother funky funky. Yeah, let's go with that. Oh, man. Let's see. Because we actually found some old audio, and I'm sure we're not the only ones that found it, but some and there's like a full 2 minutes, so I think it's on C-SPAN. You can find the full 2 minutes, but this is a 13-second clip from it where Hillary Clinton was arguing for the three strikes.
Not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel. And
by bring them to heel, she means H-E-E-L, bring them to heel. All right.
Like a
so
dog?
These,
oh.
Yeah, these little niggers are dogs. They are super predators.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
All right. Oh, man. Keep going, hill dog.
Democracy is a fragile organism, Chris.
Democracy is a fragile organism.
Democracies are people now, too? What the fuck, yo?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Democracy is, it's alive. Has moving parts. Democracy is a fragile organism. All right, then how come getting the McCutcheon decision and Citizens United overturned are not big parts of your platform? so that we can get some of them. How about getting rid of super PACs are not a big part of your platform? You don't even need super PACs because you have name recognition and virality.
So the thing is that Planned Parenthood sold the Democratic baby body part, so she can't piece it all back together into a person to use it in her platform. Because it's a, you know, fragile organism.
Damn. And she left her fair share of baby body parts around Libya.
People
she
have
did.
To believe they have a stake in it, that their voices count, that their votes count. But then they've got to see...
So then how come getting rid of the gerrymandered districts is not a big part of your platform? Tell me something good.
Organism, Chris. People have to believe they have a stake in it, that their voices count, that their votes count, but then they've got to see results from their investment in our democracy. Our democracy has to work better, our economy has to work better, our politics has to work better. That's what I know how to do, and that's what we have to get done in this election.
Now, you realize the only way that she'll get anything done is by getting the Republicans to pass legislation that she wants. Now, these are the Republicans that have filibustered their asses off on Obama and held symbolic votes to repeal Obamacare who knows how many fuck-off time, right? Like, more times than we've had fucking mass shootings. That's a dark joke. And they also still have a beef with Hillary for, that Watergate business when she was a lawyer there. So fucking, why wouldn't they just do the same shit to her? Remember, they're coming from these gerrymandered districts that she's not talking about. She's going to have the same Congress and Senate that Barry Hussein has. And also... don't quote me on this. I know the number is either 34 or 38, but either way, it is an over 50% majority of the governorships are Republican. So what you going to do about them states? Like, Republicans have the state houses, they have the governorships, and they have the Congress and the Senate. Tell me something good. Exactly what the fuck are you actually going to do with that setup other than be the first rich white woman president? Because so far, that's all you're going to do is be that thing.
Madam Secretary, unofficially, not on behalf of MSNBC or NBC, congratulations on last night and your much-deserved relief.
Thank you.
Not on behalf of NBC or MSNBC, while the MSNBC logo is up on the screen as you say this, and that MSNBC is owned by weapons of war weapon manufacturers, and Hillary Clinton is a war dog.
And break a leg on Thursday night, even if you're the only one in the chair. Thank you for joining us.
Nah, really, break a leg. Break a leg, slip and fall, crack your dome, and fucking die.
Wow.
I hate your ass. Can't stand that nigga, man. All right. So, we're 6 minutes from the bottom of the first hour. Now, let's take a looky-poo over here. Nothing going on in the flash chat. And let's take a look. Oh, people are poking me on the old Facebook arena there.
That is such a weird feature. I'm not even going to lie.
They shouldn't have called it poke. What is this? Why is he tagging me? Like, I'm live right now. I thought that was a comment. Oh, and there's Feeny. We got Feeny Loco in the chat room saying, LOL. That's why it's centrist, because we don't have it yet. Otherwise, it had been a radical victory. How dare.
What? How true. Civil rights isn't radical because we don't have it yet. Psh, did I lie, though? Mm-hmm.
No, the fuck, we don't have civil motherfucking rights. All right, so...
Well, that's because we're currently fighting the war for blue lives right now. That's more important. Hashtag blue lives.
This nigga's black. Let's see. We have a little, piece of audio to play with here. This guy, now this guy, I do not have his name memorized, but I've seen him on MSNBC multiple times. So I can assume that he's a wee bit of a MSNBC contributor, gets a little check from there. And again, you gotta love how people frame shit around Sanders. This clip is on CNN.
Welcome. My apologies in advance if we have to pivot away and go back to New Hampshire. But Banjo,
I won't mind.
You won't take offense? Okay, thank you. Van, let me begin with you. Listen, on the Democratic side, there's sort of like two schools of thought. The fact that you look at Iowa, Bernie Rose, you know, he almost beat Hillary Clinton in Iowa, or the fact that there really was this massive voter turnout, all kinds of young people, and still he lost. Which camp are you in?
Well, I'm in the camp that says anybody who is a 79,000-year-old Muppet-looking socialist who comes in. I love Bernie Sanders. If anybody like that who comes,
I love him, but I have to frame it like this:
Muppet-looking socialist.
A Muppet-looking socialist. I love him, but
9,000-year-old.
What up?
Wait, this is a presidential election, and we're concerned about who does and does not like a Muppet. Like, this is the leader of the world with one of the largest incomes, even though it's not evenly distributed, and the largest military. This should maybe be a little bit more serious to people. I don't know.
Nah. I think he is abusing his handsome, dark-skinned black manness, because I've seen this guy before. He's a handsome lad, and I think he's abusing it. He's like, I can get away with saying all sorts of shit. I can just say this.
A 79,000-year-old Muppet-looking socialist who comes within. I love Bernie Sanders. If anybody like that who comes within a hair of beating the Clintons, that lets you know there's something going on just beyond the candidate. There was a real...
I'm going to talk half serious after I just totally shat on him. And I hear... And it's not anti-Semitism, but again, like, people are leaning in with the kind of, he's a Jew. You know, he's kind of Jewy. You know, and again, like it started with Dana Loesch. What up?
Yeah, he is kind of Jewy. Yeah. You know. Which I do have to say amuses me because people are like worried he's going to support Israel, and I'm like, because America doesn't already support Israel? Okay. I saw that on Twitter today. It made me laugh. Sorry. Continue.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? Now, that's the end of that clip. On the other side, I have a little bit of Lindsey Graham audio. I would actually sit down and shoot the shit with Lindsey Graham. Like, I'd actually like to... Right, like sit down and grab a whiskey, grab a brandy, and just shoot the shit with Lindsey Graham. He disagrees on some fundamental shit, but you can talk to him like a goddamn adult. And ever since he dropped out of this race, I don't know if he doesn't care about getting reelected because he's not getting younger, or if he just knows that he has a really safe seat, but he has been talking shit since he dropped out of the race. All right,
well,
so let's go ahead and...
With these guys, though, like, they're already millionaires. You get elected, they have free health care and pensions for life. Like, you know, if somebody attacks us, they get to go to the bomb shelter first. Like, you only need one fucking term in office, really. Like, yeah. You know? Anything on top of that is just fucking gravy. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, man. All right, so let's see. We have a little bit of break time. It's a little 12-minute break. And so we will catch your asses on the other side. Feeny Loco's talking G-shit. go to Guerrilla Feminism and ask them why they stole Phoenix Kalita's Chicago page and why they stole my go intersectional or go home image. Why is La Christa Greco a thief?
We get high in backseats of cars. We break into mobile homes. We go to sleep to shake a pill. Then we wake up on our own. That's the way we get by. All that.
These days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit, pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
The island nation of Haiti is on the verge of finally ejecting the criminal president Michel Sweet Mickey Martelly, the dance hall performer and gangster who was foisted on the Haitian people by the United States through the bullying of then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton back in 2011. Martelly's term is up, and he's constitutionally required to leave office by February 7th. Martelly and his American, French, and Canadian backers had hoped to use rigged elections and strong-arm tactics to install another puppet politician, Jovenel the Banana Man Wassé, in the presidential palace. The Banana Man, who wants to turn Haiti into a real banana-exporting republic to the further impoverishment of its small farmers, came in first in an October election that was so blatantly stolen, even the thoroughly corrupt Haitian elite could not endorse the outcome. In fact, virtually no one in Haitian society except the Banana Man and Sweet Mickey and the tens of thousands of Haitians who were paid to vote repeatedly at different polling places in October considered the election to be valid. Jude Celestin, the candidate that came in second in the October election farce, and who was also cheated of victory by Sweet Mickey Martelly in the election 5 years ago, refused to go along with the travesty. Celestin said he would not take part in the bogus runoff election that was scheduled for this past Sunday, meaning the Banana Man would have been the only candidate. But even the prospect of a one-man contest could not stop the Americans from insisting on going ahead with the runoff. The U.S., which pays for the Haitian elections and therefore believes it has the right to decide who wins and who loses, growled that Haiti should go along with the fraudulent process. The Americans were upset that they might have no reliable replacement for their loyal puppet, Sweet Mickey. Plus, the discrediting of the elections would also reflect very badly on presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who claims to have brought stability to Haiti when she was at the State Department, but in fact is culpable for all of the Haitians who were murdered by the Martelly regime. The truth is that Hillary and Bill were the Bonnie and Clyde of Haiti, robbing the country for their own and other corporate criminals' benefit. The teams of FBI agents that are now matching Hillary's emails with contributions to the Clinton Foundation are tapping a motherload of corruption that may yet bring her down before Election Day in the United States. If that happens, the Haitian people will deserve some of the credit for saving the U.S. from another period of rule by the crooked Clintons, in the process of saving Haiti's sovereignty and self-respect. The Haitians' furious grassroots resistance forced the cancellation of Sunday's runoff election. Sweet Mickey is slated to leave office in less than 2 weeks, and negotiations are underway to form an interim government that would hold clean elections. The struggle is now for Haiti's poor majority to make its voice heard above the growling of the U.S. imperialist occupiers and their hired Haitian flunkies, some of whom are real killers whose names aren't funny at all. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. First up, Big Gay News from California. California bill would make all single-stall restrooms gender-neutral. Advocate.com reports that a San Francisco Democrat has introduced legislation that would require all single-stall restrooms in the state to be available to people of all genders. Assemblyman Phil Ting, representing District 19, proposed what he called possibly the nation's most progressive restroom access law, with the introduction of a bill that would see single-stall restrooms in all government buildings, businesses, and public spaces in the state be open to all genders. Multiple-stall restrooms would not be affected by the bill, and would remain assigned by gender. Ting said that the bill would not only benefit the GLBT community, but also make the restrooms more accessible to those with children, the elderly, and disabled people. Next up, GLBT groups raise funds to buy anti-gay Harlem church facing foreclosure. The Guardian reports that GLBT rights groups have raised more than $118,000 to purchase a New York City church led by a pastor known for his anti-gay rhetoric. The church, Atla Worldwide, was ordered sold at a public auction by a state judge due to unpaid bills and tax liens, and has been infamous in the Harlem area for the anti-gay messages that were often posted on its sign by its pastor, Reverend David Manning. Two of the groups interested in purchasing the site are the GLBT-friendly Rivers of Living Water Church, who would like to make the location become their permanent parish, and the Allie Forney Center, which hopes to use the space to expand its GLBT homeless youth housing. Next up, city getting its gay traffic lights back after far-right party scrapped them. Pink News reports that an Austrian city is going to get its gay traffic lights back after a complaint from a far-right party was rejected. The crossing lights featuring same-sex couples holding hands were installed in May of 2015 and were originally planned to be temporary, but overwhelming worldwide support on social media prompted Vienna to make them permanent in the city of Linz. The lights were removed after complaints of misuse of public money for them, but the Linz City Council decided to overrule the decision. For our final story, Mayor of Indonesian City warns Muslim hardliners against harassing gays. Gay Star News reports that Mayor Ridwan Kamil of Bandung, capital of Indonesia's West Java province, has ordered the Islam Defenders Front, FPI, a hardline Islamic group, to take down provocative banners targeting lesbians and gay men. Mayor Kamil's order was put into place after members of the FPI group began raiding boarding houses where they believed GLBT people were living and putting up signs with demands that they leave. The hardline group has been in the press before for raiding and harassing GLBT film festivals and human rights training events in the past years. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Raines and Shane Luke for compiling the stories. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
You know, keeping to myself. Not being a hoe.
That, no, you're not. You weren't being a whore before. You were being
right.
A human being.
You're right.
Because that term has a pejorative, right? It's a negative term, right?
Yes.
So what's the male word for it?
You.
What's the male equivalent?
A whore.
A whore? Is it a pejorative, though, or is it celebratory?
Celebratory.
See? So there's only a negative connotation when it goes to women.
You're really right, Brendan.
Yeah. And that's sexism.
It is sexism.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go fuck somebody. Oh, when I went to the carnival, went to the fair, instead of weird carnies, they like...
The mantra of every coke-headed right-wing politico is that government should be run like a business. Welcome to Flint, Michigan. This impoverished, mostly African-American city has indeed been run like a private corporation ever since Governor Rick Snyder appointed a, quote, emergency manager to seize control of Flint's heavily indebted local government. Snyder's coup d'etat usurped the people's democratic voice and enthroned an autocratic CEO who's answerable only to Snyder. As in corporations, Flint's manager is focused not on serving the people, but on the bottom line. His mandate from the governor was to slash costs ruthlessly so bankers and other holders of the city's debt can be paid off. Snyder's czar proved to be an enthusiastic slasher, including cutting a couple of million dollars from the budget in 2014 by shifting the source of the city's drinking water from Lake Huron to the Flint River. Sure, some scaredy cats worried about contaminants in that river, but Snyder's health officials poo-pooed them. Indeed, the beauty of one-man rule is that you can ignore the people and take bold, decisive action. That's what corporate CEOs do. And even if there is some collateral damage, it's the bottom line that matters. But oops, the bottom line of thinking you can simply apply corporate methods and ethics to public responsibilities is that very bad things can happen. In this case, Flint's water supply is contaminated with lead. Its entire infrastructure of water pipes needs to be replaced. Thousands of the city's children may be permanently impaired by lead poisoning, and Snyder's name is mud. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we have here is proof that government cannot be run like corporations, which serve the few, not the many. Despite the shallow sloganeering of ideologues, government has to be run like, well, like a government.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics? And a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
All right, Madison Page, such a professional speaker. Like you have to go from that great speaking, and then to me over here, like I don't know what the fuck is going on. But yeah, I like hearing Madison Page talk. I remember if you go to the SoundCloud website, right? Folks know the SoundCloud. That's pretty popular with the kids these days. And you go to Wine Cellar Entertainment, and you can see the first episode of Mean Old Negro Man, and Madison Page is on there, and you can hear a full free thought conversation style interview, if you will, with Madison Page on that program. And it's outstanding. And I'm recording the next one this Sunday, and I have not secured a guest. I tried to contact Asia B via the Facebooks, but she keeps getting banned. So maybe I'll try to contact her through the Twitters and see if we can't get Asia B on episode 2 of Mean Old Negro Man. All right. So where's my main man, Senator Lindsey Graham Crackle?
Welcome. My apologies in advance if we have to pivot away and go back to New Hampshire. But Banjo.
I won't mind.
That's the wrong. Oh, his name is Van Jones. That's his name. That's the handsome guy.
Joining us from Manchester, New Hampshire, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who has endorsed Jeb Bush for president. Can we just take a second and start right there? Because how did this...
And that's Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. With Lindsey Graham coming through.
Happen with Jeb.
I mean, we've interviewed him many times. I'll be honest with you. How in any contest Jeb Bush doesn't get at least 10%.
No.
And one out of 10 Republican voters just tells you how strange this year is, Lindsey Graham. Last night's results, even by Iowa standards, pretty shocking for Jeb.
Yeah, are y'all talking to me?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, we are. We're just wondering.
They didn't put his earpiece in very well. Y'all talking to me? I can barely hear you.
Wondering,
okay.
Like how this happened with Jeb. I don't agree with him, but I've interviewed him many times. He should be far higher up than he is. What happened?
He should be far. All right, here we go.
Well, you know, John McCain tied for fourth out of six people and still won New Hampshire. So I think Jeb will do very well here because he's got a ground game. You know, Ted Cruz, hats off to Ted. It's amazing what he did in terms of turnout. Now, I think the story after New Hampshire will be the Bush ground game and the Bush political organization. But let me tell you about polling. I got knocked out of the main stage because of these pollsters. I want my money back.
Mm-hmm. Nigga, you got knocked out the main stage. Because you said climate change exists. Nigga, that's why. You can't do science in the Republican primary.
This is ridiculous.
The process is
ridiculous. These are the guys that were telling who should be in the debate.
Yeah, Mike
Please.
Barnicle.
Point.
Senator Graham, let me ask you about the winner of last night's Iowa caucus on your side of the aisle, Senator Ted Cruz.
Yes.
If he were to win the nomination, the Republican Party's nomination, what would be your estimate of his chances in the fall against a Democrat, any Democrat?
1 in 10. The problem we have as Republicans is that we're losing the largest and fastest growing demographic, Hispanics. And when you ask them after 2012 why they don't like the Republican Party, it's the immigration issue and the way we handled it. So Ted was for legalization, no matter what he tells you, and now he says he wasn't. So he's going further right on immigration. He doesn't have an exception for rape and incest. If a woman is raped in Ted Cruz's world, she's going to have to carry the baby of the rapist. I'm pro-life, but I won't go there. I think that's hard to sell with young women. I think his position on immigration is completely out of sync with where the party needs to be, and he'll get creamed. And the only person who'd do worse than Ted is Trump.
Just damn, nigga!
Keep talking shit.
Like, I just don't give a fuck anymore, y'all. Oh, Lindsey Graham. Nigga. Oh, shit. He really said all that, though. Like, I mean, he didn't lie. He did not lie. Okay.
Oh man, and that's like there's more clip left. I don't know if I don't think there's any more punchlines like that, because when we were doing show prep earlier this afternoon, you reviewed it with me, and I don't think there's any more punchlines like that. But fuck it, let them keep going.
And if you vote for Trump as a Republican, you're buying a ticket on the Titanic after you saw the movie.
I remember reviewing it and saying, yep, we have to play this. But then you know what happens, like I finish show prep and then I take a nap and I get up and some of the shit has been wiped from my brain by one of my weird ass dreams, and then I go and I do the program. Oh man.
Oh shit, son. Lindsey Graham.
Don't do that.
So in real time today in New Hampshire, what would be a good outcome for your candidate, Jeb Bush, in New Hampshire?
To win his lane. Marco did well in Iowa. I like Marco, but he has now turned hard right. He's abandoned the bill he worked on with me. In the last debate, he sounded more like Cruz on immigration. That's very disappointing, because that will come back to bite us as a party. And Marco has no exceptions for rape and incest. I may be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's going to be very hard to grow the party among women if you're going to tell young women, if you get raped, you got to carry the child of the rapist. Most pro-life people don't go there. That will not sell in New Hampshire. And thing I like about Jeb is he's steady, and he's got a backbone, and he's not giving in to all this demagoguery on immigration. And I think over time that will matter in New Hampshire.
Senator, I agree with you, and I hope you're right. But it looks to me like this morning your colleague, Senator Scott, came out, endorsed Marco Rubio, and expressed what a lot of people will only say privately, that Marco Rubio may be the establishment's best shot and the best shot for someone who shares your worldview, which is an aggressive and an interventionist foreign policy. So are you at all concerned about the Bush campaign aggressively?
I like how you hear how they said imperialism. aggressive interventionalist foreign policy. So you mean bombing motherfuckers? Like, that's what that means. Let's see here.
Taking on what may be the establishment's best shot.
I like, Tim will help Marco. You know, in foreign policy, Marco has been very good for the most part. He has the worldview I share. But let me just say this. Immigration haunts this party. He tried to fix a broken immigration system in an irrational way. Now he is backed off. To think that's not going to matter in the general election, you're kidding yourself. And again, I hope I'm wrong about the abortion issue. It's going to be hard to sell to young women Marco's position on abortion. I don't know how this movie ends, but I know with women and Hispanics that we're going in the wrong direction, in my view, and Jeb Bush will beat Hillary Clinton. And I think he's becoming the only person, quite frankly, that can beat Hillary Clinton.
Senator Lindsey Graham, always good to have you on the show. Thank you very much. And still,
Madam Secretary,
you know, that's a reasonable establishment guy.
Yeah. But see, that makes me sad, though, that, like, no matter all that shade he just, you know, had there and all the shit he just talked about, the Republicans running, he's still like, but yeah, we're still imperialists. I'm like, that part's cool, though.
Yeah, like, yeah, we still gonna do these drive-bys. We gonna blast on fools. That's not a problem. Don't worry. We gonna do that, homie.
I mean,
oh, man.
Well, it's always a good time for a pacification campaign, right?
Yep, it's always a good time. And I think Senator Lindsey Graham should keep doing these interviews. I think he should start a fucking podcast and
to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, he should just do that, man.
Catapult propaganda. Is that the Americanized version of Nazi planning? I'm pretty sure the Nazis said something like that at one point.
The Nazis. If you want to know what the Nazis said, just go read a Reddit board or 4chan.
4chan, yeah.
Yeah, like those fools. Like and it's like, I mean, they pointed that out. The LQ and them fools over at Blackwash, where they were like, they're like, these motherfuckers are talking about cultural Marxism. Like, do they not know where that shit comes from?
No, they don't.
Oh, excuse me. All right. So let's see. I think you had some news. I don't know if you have it linked. It sounds like you're doing a gang of stuff over there.
I might be. You don't know my life.
Well, what are you doing?
I just got in the house, actually. And I'm checking the thread on Misogynoir Exposed. That thread is still happening because it's a popular thread. Let's see. News stories.
Yeah, no, like, was there any, like, I know you were telling me about some, what was going on with that, like, Feeny Loco was watching a documentary. What was this?
So, it was a documentary about refugee camps in northern Ghana. So I just, you know, Ghana being one of the large areas involved with the transatlantic slave trade, so I just sort of have an interest. But so apparently, because there's a lot of, like, superstition, and then, of course, you know, they've been colonized, so they're all Christians now. And they think that there are some women who practice witchcraft, and it's always women too. Like, there's so many layers to it, because it's like the gender issues and the patriarchy, and it's just layers upon layers. So apparently, if a woman is accused of witchcraft, so they'll say, like she's trying to kill me in my dreams, or like she's trying to put, like, a hex on me, or, you know, like she's trying to kill the livestock and things like that. And so if this woman is perceived to be a witch by a man, she gets put out of the town. And, of course, these are, like, very basic tribal communities, you know. So, like, she's essentially kind of getting put out of the tribe. And so she has nowhere to go. And, of course, every woman that they do this to is not married, right? She's either too young to be married or she's widowed. So it's a bunch of unmarried women who, because of patriarchy, like, essentially can't fend for themselves, and they have nowhere to go because they've been put out of their town. And so there are, like, literal refugee camps in a few places where these women go live. And so these towns are, like, 98% women. Sometimes they bring their kids, sometimes they can't, and they live there and they work there. And it was just really heartbreaking to watch it because, like, you know, like I said, every woman who was there was either too young to be married or had been widowed, you know, so it was like women who were in vulnerable positions under patriarchy, right, because they didn't have the ownership and protection of a man based on patriarchal standards. And they didn't have to be any proof, right? A man, it was almost always a man who was accusing them would say, oh, I think she's a witch. And, you know, these women are living in these refugee camps and they have nothing. And one woman had been there for 20 years because she had nowhere else to go. And she hadn't seen her kids for 20 years because she wasn't allowed to bring her kids with when she left. So she hasn't seen her children in 20 years, and she can't go back because they threaten to basically kill her kids if she shows up. And then I guess if they want to prove that you're not a witch, there's, like, there's a ritual that they do, and it involves, like, a local priest and prayers and a chicken, and you have to pay for it. And, of course, these people are incredibly, incredibly poor because they're living in rural Africa, you know, and it costs $30 to do this ritual. And then they have to buy the chicken, right? So, of course, these people can't afford it. So then there's a bunch of women who have been accused of something who think that this traditional remedy can prove that they're innocent, but they can't afford to do it. So they're stuck waiting in the camps until, you know, for a couple of years at a time until their family can save up enough money to do this ritual and all that. And it was horrible. And then one of these camps is essentially run by, like, the priest. He owns the land. And because the women don't have family or husbands to help support them, and a lot of them are elderly, they have to work on this land. It's like plantation sharecropping, quite literally. And these women have to work and grow the crops. And, you know, these are elderly women doing some very intense manual labor, and sometimes there's not enough food for them to eat. So what they do is they go to like the local farmer's market, and there are people there who sell grain and food, but because these women can't afford the food, they'll wait until like something kind of like gets spilled on the ground, I mean literally in the dirt, and they'll pick up the grain out of the dirt, and they just pick it up by handfuls, and it's, you know, a handful of dirt with some grain mixed in, and then they, you know, take it home and rinse it off and eat it because there's nothing else to eat. And it was just so incredibly tragic to see that, like, you know, some dude accuses you of some superstitious bullshit and these women are stuck living in these camps and they can't get out. And it's like they miss their kids, they miss their families, they miss their friends, you know. And one woman actually got to go home. She was going to have to wait to so her family could pay for the ritual, but the person doing the documentary paid the fee for her. And, you know, it proved that she wasn't a witch or whatever, and she got to go home. And her friends, you know, kind of saved up some money to give her a parting gift. And, like, this entire community of women could only raise about $2. Like, it was so freaking tragic to see that these women were being treated this way. And it was literally just, you know, a false accusation from a man accusing these women of doing things that they didn't do, and all of a sudden they're outcasts. And, you know, they said that they were actually lucky to end up in these camps because there were women who died who couldn't get into these camps. A lot of them had been physically assaulted, probably sexually assaulted too, I would just assume. And this is what they did. So it was... it was just really fucking sad, you know? And I think a lot of people were like, oh, you know, those, like, the backward-ass Africans, but it's like, that patriarchal bullshit is a European import. Like, you did this. This is Eurocentric standards and white Jesus. Like, this is not backwards Africans. This is some shit that got
put on these people, and it's fucking tragic all around. So that made me very sad today. It's probably the saddest thing I'll see in a while.
Well, and the thing, and what these backward Africans, what they really need is some of the true religion, some of the real religion that's been verified, tested,
really?
And we know that.
Trump went to a so-called gay wedding himself of a friend in New York, and he is quoted as saying it was a beautiful thing. Trump said that the gay wedding, so-called, that he went to between two men was a beautiful thing. And you have to ask yourself, Brian, how many Christians, even those who would agonize over whether they should go or not, how many would say that a homosexual so-called marriage is a beautiful thing?
Yeah, you know, if you have a biblical worldview, you just have to, you'd be grieved for them. You'd be grieved for what they're heading into, grieved for the way in which homosexual behavior separates them from God, the risk that it's putting them at, the risk it's going to put children to if they're adopted into that household. So the proper response would not be joy. It would not be celebration. The proper Christian response would be grief and sorrow over what these two people are doing to themselves and also to others.
Excuse me. The proper response would be stoning to death. Haven't you ever read the book of Leviticus? So kill them, motherfuckers. That would be
Well,
response.
Brian Fisher, he didn't really know much about it or that there or any bit of business.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. And just taking a look at a couple more. Now, something that's annoying me is rawstory.com, where a lot of us lefty podcasters like to go and troll for stories. They keep sharing this guy from YouTube who, like, he basically just says, you know, typical right-wing shit, you know, homophobic, misogyny, that whole business. But he only gets, like, what the fuck? Let me take a look at how many hits his fucking, his damn thing on YouTube has again. Because this guy, like, the Raw Story is, like, giving him more clicks when he's a nobody. That's the thing. Like, when you're the... This video, 1,900 views. Like, he's fucking... this is Right Wing Watch's clip of the video. So I guess it's he posted it on Fair Use. Yeah, he's legit just some guy in, like, his living room. I don't even know his name. Right? Here, let's see. I mean, I'm sure he's funny, but who the fuck is he?
So collectively adamant about this, then you have the sodomites who are coming out into the streets and the Christians will come and beat them up. This happens a lot in Serbia, it happens in Poland, it happens in Georgia, not the state of Georgia, the country. It happens in Russia. The people.
He doesn't even have a decent microphone. He has the built-in laptop microphone in an empty room and full of reverberation. The reverb is so fucking ugly in his audio.
Who are beating up the sodomites don't really get punished because the society is so conditioned that way. They may have laws that say you can't hit somebody because they're homosexual, or they may have no law that would support hitting a homosexual, but nonetheless, it's written in the hearts of the people, is what I'm trying to say. And so if it's written in the hearts of the people, so if there's a law written in the hearts of the
people... It's just tribalism. That's yeah, right.
People... And the people who are fighting this evil physically with their hands, fighting them, beating them up, those people are not going to get in trouble. We don't have that in America. And in America, you know, oh, that's wrong, that's bad, that's not Christ-like.
Ask a trans woman.
As in Eastern Europe and in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, it is Christ-like to fight against this evil. And I would 100% agree.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, he's just some dude. I'm not even. I stopped it before it was over. There's 36 more seconds, but fuck him. I don't care what this guy says. He's not that ill. oh, excuse me. Oh, man. Very, very. Huh?
I was going to say, did you do the update on the Roosh meat?
Yeah, what's going on with that now? Apparently that's happening in multiple cities now. So multiple cities, they're sharing this same message and sharing the same idea out there.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
Like, that's what's
going on. They're trying. So basically, because, you know, obviously, like, this started as an online thing, and they're like, let's have, like, a global day of solidarity, get the word out. So they had events planned in Australia, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, I think one in Boston, a couple in Canada, various places in Europe. There's two supposed to be in Spain. There's a couple in Germany. There's one in Scotland and maybe England. And so basically, this is up for debate now, but allegedly they canceled it this evening because they received too many threats and felt unsafe, which, appreciate the irony, this is a bunch of men who wanted to get together and talk about why rape should be legal. They felt unsafe. So now they said they canceled it, but people are suggesting that that is just a front to, like, make the protesters go away, and that they're still going to host events. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think we've talked about Rouge on the program before. He's a pickup artist, so he uses, like, essentially coercion to try to have sex with women, you know, gives them alcohol, uses mental extortion and emotional manipulation to try to have sex because that's how you do it, I guess. I wrote an article about how rape should be legal if it's not on private property. Just generally has written books about, you know, rating women and their sexual availability and general hotness by country. And he's actually been banned from speaking at gigs before. So, yeah, I mean, they're very unpleasant, misogynistic people. And he writes for the Return of Kings website, which is basically the same kind of pickup artist, MRA, misogynist, patriarchal type of mentality. They've had articles about, like, you should never date a girl who has tattoos because she's a slut and, you know, has had sex too many times before you. You should date a girl with an eating disorder because she'll have really low self-esteem, so it'll be easy to make her do anything you want her to do. But then as soon as she starts to get ugly from her eating disorder because it's ruining her health, you should break up with her. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they do. It's really disgusting.
Yeah, that's the first one I saw, like, and this was, like, I think this was before I even knew a men's rights activist existed, and I saw this, and I was just like, what the fuck is the deal with these guys? Like, what is your problem? You want someone to have an eating disorder? What?
Yeah, they're
fucking weird. And, I mean, the logical thing to do is just shoot these motherfuckers in the fucking face and throw them off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and then also, so they're talking about rape should be legal. And I see what's going on there is they're still considering rape to be sex. When it's like, it's a power trip, you know, but because it's like it's assault. That's kind of why they use sexual assault. It's a violent act. So, I mean, rape should be legal. All right, then I should be able to punch Roosh in his fucking face, which is also an assault, a violent attack. And I should be able to do that. And, I mean, and then also, since, I mean, Roosh is so into his freedom, he should be able to defend himself against me. And, I'm sure he can successfully do that. I'm quite sure that if I punch Roosh in his fucking face, that Roosh will successfully punch me back and fend me off. So somebody get that message to him. Don't come down to Central Florida. Whatever.
So, actually, their attempt to justify rape as being sexist because Roosh is actually a rapist. He has admitted, if his accounts of what he writes in his books are true, he is a rapist because he has talked about getting girls so drunk that they can't consent and pass out during sex. He's talked about how a girl was saying no, and basically he inserted his penis into her vagina, and then at some point she just decided she was okay with it and liked it. That would be rape. So because he, I guess, because of his whatever is going on in his fucking head, uses rape as a common practice and he frames it as, I got laid, look at the notch in my bedpost, I'm the king of sexual encounters, and is pushing that propaganda with his followers. So they're really trying to hard to frame rape as something that you just do to women because they deserve it or you can't contain yourself. Like the standard rape myth. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, this fucking guy. All right, you know what?
Yeah.
Shit's looking good. So we tackled Clinton, played some Sanders, played a little bit of Lindsey Graham. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with where this episode went. Yeah, it's a good place to tie it off and wrap it. The Martha Fracken, Fliggendackle, Schmargenhummel, Spliegendackle.
That's not a word, yo.
Capty Dibble.
That's not a word either.
All right. So, oh, excuse me. Amber, and right now, like, because I really want the website before spring of 2017. So, like, by the time we hit the top of 2017, if the Patreon isn't there, I got to juggle between the idea of doing 2-hour programs or shifting that the funding that we get that goes to 2-hour programs and using that to go straight to make ourselves a website, because we really, really super duper extra mega need our own .com where we can post shit and somebody can't just report it and have it deleted. It'll be our shit that we posted and you can't take it away from us, and we kind of fucking need that. Alright. So Patreon.com, Wine Cellar Entertainment, Wine Cellar Podcast, you can find it there. They got a little search box. And then also right there and the link is actually in the description of this episode, and most episodes that we do, and on some of our Facebook posts and pictures, the links are there. And the paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, that shit helps out a great deal. Again, like, you know, one person kicked in $2, $10, two people kicked in $2 each. You know, that shit goes to pay a bill. Like, I have SoundCloud, yeah. You know, and I can upload more shit there. Yeah, that shit matters. You know, nigga, one of the homie locals came through, dropped a 50 joint on it. You know, niggas come through, drop $15. You know, come, yeah, hit that up. That is a fair gosh darn deal. All right. And I think that is, that'll be your gosh darn wine cellar.
Bye.
Hit me, baby, one more time.